When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Today's episode of Motherfuck Lore is brought to you by the show's generous supporters on Patreon. Supporters like Gordon D. Hay. Listeners who are generous enough to support the show on Patreon get access to bonus content, discounts on art by Kirsten Scheel, and a range of other bonuses. You can check it out at patreon.com/Derek. And now, the show.
From the Head Stuff Podcast Network, welcome to Motherfuck Lore, a podcast of words, Irish words, and words from Ireland. I am Dárach O'Shea.
I'm Geraldine McAvoy.
And I'm Padraig Quibonic.
And you're all very welcome to today's episode. Last week we had great fun talking about place names. And we're going to have even more fun on that same topic this week. We even got some feedback from listeners. Ding!
Hi, motherfucker. Long-time listener, first-time caller. My name's Gary. I really enjoyed the podcast, full stop, but I particularly enjoyed last week's about Loganum, because it's a story I always tell about my own place name, Cap and Arrogid, which I love people trying to spell or people trying to pronounce who've never seen it before. They don't do it well. But it's Cap on Arrogid, the hill of the money, or the hill of the silver. Across the road from my house, there's a completely flat field, and all the surrounding fields are pretty flat, and there's one big hill in the middle of the field. Not big, but prominent. And there is the ruins of a monastery, maybe a couple of hundred meters away beside a river. And the lore goes that this monastery was being raided by Vikings or Norsemen or someone, 8th, 9th, 10th century. Apparently, the monks took their silver, their valuables, their money, and they buried it in the middle of this field and built a hill over the top. So, the place name is the Hill of the Money. I've taken a JCB to the Hill of the Money, and we went down about 3 meters, and we couldn't find any money or any silver, but that's where it comes from. And yeah, I think these Loganum or Loganvaha, whatever the plural is, it's marvelous. There's a whole lore and a story that just isn't there when you anglicize it. Yeah, thank you, and thank you for the podcast.
Hi Gary, thanks a million for the cool story and for the confession to the crime of vandalism. That's a yikes, bro. But look, what a great story. Absolutely fantastic. And we've got more Lug Anamnacha coming up today, so hopefully we can get a few more cool stories about the history of place names, like that brilliant story about the monks and the Vikings, and how the monks were like a hedge fund and the Vikings were like some brave redditors trying to take them down. More Lug Anamnacha. Send yours to us. Send us the story of any interesting place names in your area. Drop us a voice note like Gary did. And yeah, let's do some more Lug Anamnacha. Class.
Am I going to get an official apology from the 2E for laughing at me for not knowing the word for beehive when I was actually looking for the word for apiary? Am I going to get one on air?
Hold on a second. You specifically said the yolk that you take out the honey from, and like an apiary is several hives.
Yeah, but the boxes, are they not apiaries?
No, the boxes are beehives.
Or is it the whole establishment?
The whole establishment's an apiary.
Right, well, that was the word I was looking for.
The whole establishment, the collection of all of the various different beehives.
Are they different? But they're all the same. They're just...
Well, sorry, all of the discrete beehives then. All of the separate boxes.
Okay, yeah. All right, that's the word I was looking for. But I think perhaps I had it mixed up with the word for beehive.
So the... and you find, obviously, the bees in one particular hive would have a rivalry with the other bees who serve a different queen.
They do different dances. That's like their different languages.
Do they really? Or are you just taking the piss out of me? Because I will believe you.
No, seriously.
Do they?
That's how bees communicate through dance. And every hive has a different dance. It's like an accent.
I love bees. They're so cute.
And what was your hive's dance? No, that sounds a lot like the Mel Brooks' 2000-year-old man sketch. Which you'd call Reiner. But anyway, I won't bore you with old man stuff. Well, last week we were talking...
It's amazing that like we were talking about beekeeping and then you decided to make it even more esoteric and unknowable.
What could be more esoteric than EGOT winner Mel Brooks? But yes, anyway, last week we were talking about kill and quill and the very important significant differences here. This week we're going to talk another recurring feature in place names, which is Inish, but also Ilam. And also, words that sound like Inish, but are different from Inish, and mean something different from Inish.
Are there words that sound like Inish?
Inch.
That are not Inish. Oh, Inch. Well, I mean...
Is Inch not usually just the anglicization of Inish, no?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But some... Not okay. Orange. Significantly, though, and I saw this because there's an inch in Cavan, and I was or fairly deeply inland. I think there's a few in Westmeath even, and they actually sometimes going to refer to a meadow or a slightly raised area of grassy land as opposed to just an island. Which
but
is
if
what
we're talking about
the,
because I did check on loganam.ie, which again a great resource, and you can actually check the map. And I was because we were checking earlier today for the most like inland version, as you said, Inch and Inish and Ilan are island or isle. And as far as I'm aware, and as far as I could tell from the map, the Inch or Inish in Cavan is actually in a lake, so it's like it is an island within a lake. So. It passes the bar for an island.
Cavan has a lake for every day of the year.
Yeah, Cavan is riddled with lakes.
Is it? It's because of the drumlins or some shit. I remember from Leaving Cert Geography something about this basket of eggs. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I remember
everyone
that term.
Remembers drumlins, and you often find if you are passing through beautiful Cavan that you'll see a lot of place names beginning with drum.
Okay,
and Monaghan too.
Because it's full of ridges.
And drumlins. Drumlins are like oxbow lakes. The education system made sure you knew fine well what an oxbow lake was, what a drumlin was, and that dolphins weren't fish. And they didn't give a fuck if you knew anything about double entry counting or speaking multiple languages.
Yeah, I think I could still probably draw you a very decent diagram of an oxbow lake and how it occurs, you know, river deposition, etc., etc.
The only issue I have is I don't know any of these terms as barely.
I
know Oxbow Lake. I know Oxbow Lake, but I mean, I know that like deposition, I think, is sheelagin, and erosion is crema. I think that's what they are. But I know what crema and sheelagin are. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know how relevant geography is, how it comes up in everyday situations. Like my biggest issue is the first time somebody mentioned freeze thaw action. I had no idea what they were talking about because I only knew it as Gaeilge. So.
Yeah, I had a friend in college who was trying to talk about pathetic fallacy one time, but he was from Coolay and only went to school in Irish, so he didn't know the English word for pathetic fallacy. And he was trying to describe, because it was raining and it was a particularly sad day, he was trying to describe this to me in English and then just went, and I don't remember what it is in Irish, to my detriment. But yeah, we were both trying to explain pathetic fallacy using two different languages at the same time, but just not having the shared terminology, which was... fun in itself. Language, am I right?
It was probably a beautiful moment.
Yeah,
it's probably something beautiful in Irish compared, because pathetic fallacy, it's prone to misunderstanding because we generally think of pathetic in its other sense, meaning, you know, like that's just pathetic as opposed to referring to the process of pathy and sympathy and empathy.
Yeah, so in Irish it's phalas mohioch. A fallacy... A tangible fallacy, a fallacy that one feels. which is what, you know, pathos means, and the original meaning of pathetic. But yeah, but the original meaning of Inish is an island where you see Inch, and you see it relating to, like, there are fields called Inch in Wexford, but they're all along the banks of the likes of the Slaney. They're all along the banks of rivers. And what would happen is they would flood. And if there's a ridge in a field that floods, you get
an Ilan.
A temporary island, an Ilan, an Inish.
Yeah, this is why sometimes certain cranks would point to environmental allegations that sea levels are rising. So how about all these places called island that are actually over land now?
Ah, yeah, but that leads us to a very important topic that I didn't think we'd be discussing today. But have you ever heard of shifted baseline syndrome?
No.
No, but I can guess what it means.
Yeah, well, basically what it means is that when you start to treat a certain period in history as the way things should be. So things have changed since this point. So when we talk about climate change in Ireland and talk about, like, rejecting the ideas of you know, water levels rising, when we have historical examples of floodplains that are no longer floodplains and the likes, that's because we tend to think of either the start of recorded history or the start of the 20th century, or you name it, you pick a point in time and it's there. Like, we tend to think of Ireland, pristine, untouched Ireland, that would be rolling green fields and stone walls and things like that. And that ignores the fact that prior to the medieval age, Ireland was fucking covered in trees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was easier for people. The reason that, like, Irish settlers from the northern part of the island settled in Scotland was it was easier to take a 9-mile boat ride over to southern Scotland than it would have been to walk to Wicklow or Dublin or even Drogheda or Dundalk. So if you were living on the north coast of Antrim, Ireland was far too covered in forests and impassable. So shifted baseline syndrome means that you think of the pristine Ireland of the 1940s and the 1950s, and you think, oh, that's the way it should be, and climate change is affecting that, and that's terrible. But actually, Ireland has a much, much, much more complex and really difficult to manage environmental and geographical history. So basically those cranks can go and do one, jog on, because your relationship to floodplains and flooding is very poorly informed in a nutshell. We really don't have much idea why a certain place that hasn't flooded in 1,000 years is called Inch. But there's probably a reason that's related to how a particular river flowed at that particular time. Maybe before we got our hands on them and started damming and diverting and doing all sorts of shenanigans.
Yeah,
there's a really wonderful. I used to live in a city in Finland called Turku or Åbo in Swedish, and Finland is interesting in the sense that it's not that long in terms of geological time since the, like, glaciers melted. So it's actually still rising somewhat, that the land is rising upward. And you can see very clearly the timeline of that. So I used to live right next to this big cathedral in Turku, really noted cathedral, which is, if I can find, from like the 12th century. And on it, so it's like, probably 3 or 4 kilometers away from the harbour where I also used to work, which the ferries from Sweden would come and go. But at where the cathedral is, so it's not that old in terms of, like, if we think about castles in Ireland, it's not as old as those castles or some of the other settlements we have. But on the steps, so there's these massive steps up to it, and on the very top of the steps there's these big old, like, metal ring, and what that ring was where the ships would tie on, because the water used to be right up there. There's a river in the town now right next to it, but you can see how far the water has receded because the rising has happened. So you can see the geological time and the passing of time still happening really clearly. And if you look down at the harbour, there is a castle, and this castle is on a big kind of, like, massive hill. And when you go and view the castle, they show you where it used to be a moat right around it, like in the middle of a sea. It was an island. But now it's part of the mainland. So that's still being reclaimed by the lift from glacial melt, which is... again, Finland is I'm excited to talk about islands today, because Finland is one of the largest archipelagos in Europe. There's like 70,000 islands in Finland. And I always have the discussion of, like, wh- what's an island? Because, like, you can have, like, little bitty rocks that have one tree on them. Like, you know, they're not all inhabited, obviously, because there's so fucking many of them. But you can see very clearly the passage of time in a way that might not be so visible in Ireland, because just because of the dramatic nature of it and the more, I suppose, recent nature of it here in Finland.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, there's an observatory tower as well, and if you walk up to the observatory tower, they have little like stone markers to show you where the sea level was however many years ago. It's very cool. Would recommend, if anyone ever visits Finland, would recommend a visit to Turku. It's a lovely city.
You know what my favorite Inch or Inish place name is in Ireland? It's Inch Island. Mm. Which is in Lochswilly.
Oh, yeah.
Cundé de Nál. And of course, it's not Inch, it's Inch Island. The name of the island is Inch Island, which means, of course, Island Island.
Which is naan bread, chai tea. That's what that is, which is like wonderful.
The Sahara Desert. Sahara is Arabic for desert, and the Gobi Desert is Mongolian for desert.
Yeah.
So it's the Gobi Desert, the Sahara Desert. UCD Dublin is my favorite. Lads, get it together.
UCD for you. That's fucking UCD for you.
It's University College Dublin, comma, Dublin.
So good they named it twice, baby.
I went to Maynooth. I don't know what you're on. So it is. It's like naan bread or chai tea. Yeah, absolutely. As distinct from a chai latte, which is
different.
Nothing. Just
lovely something. Though. I love it. I love a chai latte. Like it's all spicy.
So it's not a
one of my favorites. I have a few Inish names which I really enjoy. One of which is, we've mentioned in the podcast before when we were talking about Peg, Inish Ficalon. Fun to say.
Yeah, that is fun. Yeah.
Fun to say, but it's the actual meaning of, or the act of what, where Inish Ficalon got its name is a point of debate. Sometimes place names are debated. There's a couple of different theories. And we were talking about this. This is, again, some information that was handily available on loganim.ie, that there are some people who thought that Inish Ficalon was meant Phelan's Island, or some people say it's the island of the small cell.
Inish Ficalon, I suppose. Then, yeah, that's possible.
And then the Isle of the Sun of the Island. Inish Ficalon.
Oh, yeah.
But it's... I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
but this is the thing. This is because you know. I mean, as I would often people say, well, what was it called back in the day? You know, how do you spell that? And you don't. You don't. People who would have been calling it Inish Ficalon would have been just saying the words. And you know, I'm not saying it wasn't much to write home about, but people obviously weren't writing stuff down about Inish Ficalon. You look at the actual loganim.ie records, and you'll see all these wacky spellings of it by presumably British Ordnance Survey officers. Who were going through Corcovini on their way to see Glucas. And place names in Kerry, as we've discussed before, are often were hampered by the fact that there is certain what's the word I'm looking for? Conflicts of interest. Kenmare River famously not being a river but being named so a local lord could have private fishing rights on it, and people were just, you know, pointing at things and saying, you can't just name it whatever you like.
Here beside the tranquil Kenmare River, you can ease down to the pace of a life in which the motor car is still a welcome sight.
But yeah, so Inish Ficalon, and this is, however, there was this news report said that one of the affectionate, there was another theory, which is there was a guy called Gilla Mac Ilon, who was the king of Corcolina in 1040 AD.
This is Mac Ivlon.
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit more realistic, like, you know, that it comes from a local chieftain. Mm-hmm.
But then some people say that it's now affectionately known as Ilon Hai.
I think it may have been when they first purchased the island. Yeah, there's no doubt, like, because it was kind of high profile that, you know, Charlie Hai had, you know, had bought an island, like the leader of a country had bought an island off the coast of that country. Absolutely not sus in the slightest. Like, no shades of Central American banana republics in 1980s American movies about them. Like, none of that. Mm. None of that. It was perfectly legitimate, of course, that the leader of a country could buy an island in that country.
I love that. I love that he bought an island in order to sort of feel like he was more connected to the local people. So he bought a fucking island and named it after himself, essentially.
If you had the means, would you not buy an island in the Gaeltacht?
I might buy a house in the Gaeltacht. I don't know if I'd buy a fucking island. Like, sorry, did you read? Did anyone read After the Silence?
Yeah. Isn't it brilliant?
Don't do it. They don't like us. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'd know how to be rich. Like, I think I'd just be like, oh, will we get takeaway again? Oh!
Yeah, yeah.
I get the air conditioning fixed in my car, so then it just would be cold all the time. It's always cold in my car. It's either too cold or just blastering hot, like, you know.
Is this your car that's sitting at home in Ireland? Like?
Yeah. The car that
Jesus, because you wouldn't want the air conditioning not working in Finland.
No, well, no, I'm not brave enough to drive because it's a whole different ballgame. Wrong side of the road and, you know, snow and shit.
Wrong side of the road, snowing, and also there's fins on the road.
I had left it so long between getting my provisional license and my full license that I had to do the 12 mandatory lessons, which, I mean, I say had to, like, I'm glad I did them because somebody who knows what to do and taught me how to drive, you know, taught me how to do a roundabout, which now that I know how to drive, so a lot of people didn't, you know. A lot of people did not learn how to use a fucking roundabout.
Are you fucking kidding me? Do you see people in roundabouts? Like, I mean, do you walk through a door like that? As bad as that? Because I do not want to be standing behind you walking through a fucking door if you can't indicate in a fucking roundabout. Sorry.
I can't believe roundabouts was what made Pod Dad break bad. I've never heard him swear that much in such a short succession. I've got to find some pearls to clutch. That was...
Okay, so...
He's about to tell us he's going to turn this car around. And there'll be no McDonald's for anyone.
Something I noticed there when I was having a look at doing some research, and this is more on the Elan side of things. There are three places in Ireland called Ladies Island, but they have three different names in Irish.
What lady are we talking about?
Specifically,
is that
specifically
herself?
In I'll tell you now. It's herself. So there's Ilan Namwan Ushla in Kiri. Okay.
That's, Ilan, yeah, Ladies Island, I guess. Ladies, as in plural.
Ilan Namna Ushla in Mayo.
That would be one Ladies Island.
Yeah. And then Ilan Wira.
And that's
that would
herself.
Be one specific lady. Yeah. That's herself.
That's, yeah. And that's the most...
Our lady.
Yeah.
Our
lady.
Affectionately known.
So I was thinking, like, because my cousins in Kerry run a wonderful spot in the Clarney National Park called Ladies View. It has a beautiful view of the lakes, Clarney's lakes. And hi to all the O'Shea's in Ladies View. What up? absolutely. If you're in Clarney National Park, you should definitely stop there and buy some merchandise and get a cup of coffee or a cup of tea.
But not if you have a Dublin reg.
Because you're out
we'll
of town.
We'll stop, yeah.
Definitely.
Because you're out.
Hey, we're all friends. But I was just wondering, like, is the lady different in these contexts? Obviously, Our Lady in Wexford, but could it be a case that, like, did a lady own this island, or were there lots of fine ladies in this island, or what was
might
going
have
on?
Been fine-looking women on the island, huh? Ladies all out there on the island, whoop.
All the single ladies' islands. Yeah, so obviously, like, places in Ireland got named at various different points in time, and some places have names that superseded older names, and anything that would have, like, Ridhra or Ban Usal or Mná Uaisle or that sort of thing, that comes from a time when the Norman ascendancy were naming things after themselves. And anything older than that, anything that would sort of say, like Ilan Wira, obviously it means Our Lady's Island. It means the Mary, the Mother of God. So that's a site of pilgrimage or a site that's holy. So yeah, there's loads of different, and I think it's kind of the translation leads to oversimplification. Mm-hmm. Just this idea that, well, they must all mean the same thing. It's not always the case. It's definitely not always the case. It sort of is with Inch and Inish. They do mean the same thing, and Ilan as well. But it's interesting, if something is named Ilan rather than Inish, I'm always very curious about that, because Inish is by far the more preferred one. Mm. There's hundreds of Inish around the country, even though Ilan is the more common term in modern Irish.
Yeah.
Inish was the poetic one, and it's the one that's preferred in giving a place a name. Mm. I don't think there are any islands off the coast of Ireland that are known as Ilan, such and such. But there's loads of like Inishmore, Inishmian.
Yeah.
But an islander would be an Ilanach.
And Tlaanach, yeah. An Islander is an Ilanach, or if you're from Connemara, an Ilanach. But it just depends on what syllable you stress. But yeah, it, just when it comes to the place names, the more poetic Inish is, but you'd never say Tamagul Erin Inish. Tamagul is Jack Erin Alon.
Inish, I think, and funnily enough, in modern Irish would describe a particular place. Like that's, you're talking about a particular place, not a generic island or the island, as in physically heading out to an island or heading into an island, as we discussed on the Peg episode.
Yeah, exactly. You do always go into the island, never go out to the island. Yeah. One of my favourite place names, and actually it's a geographical term as well, to bring the conversation right back around to everything I learned under Sir Conegonal in Kalashkillian. Lehinish. Lehinch in County Clare is Lehinish. And Lehinish, of course, any geography student who studied through Gaeilge would know, is the Irish for a peninsula. And I love it because it just means Lehinish, like half an island.
Love that.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
That's way better than English, man.
Yeah, it's like it's not a full island. Like there's a bit still stuck onto the mainland.
It's nearly an island.
It's nearly an island.
Peninsula is just it's one of those words that people like it because it almost sounds rude. It's not a proper word like peninsula. You're just people saying it in the hope that someone will have a stammer and everyone can have a good laugh. It's like dastardly.
Or Horlicks.
Or yeah. But great. Love it.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to That's Banging with me, Marcus O'Lara.
And me, Chris Mellon.
A new podcast celebrating everything good from farm to plate,
ship to service,
and field and fork.
A celebration of everything tasty, fresh, and excellent that's coming off our island at the moment.
As well as interviews with people who are shaping the best of the best of food and drink from around the country.
Episodes are out fortnightly on the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
But speaking of the poetic nature of Inish is also featured in probably one of Ireland's most famous poems, W.B. Yeats' poem, The Lake Isle of Inish Free. And that is a lovely poem. And I've discussed my feelings about W.B. Yeats on this podcast before. If you'll recall, I think he had wet hands. And yeah, a general
ne'er-do-well. And a weak handshake.
A sloppy handshake.
Old,
you know?
Monkey balls, yeah.
Yeah. But he did. He wrote a good poem. You have to hand that to him, you know. I mean, occasionally a creepy poem, more than occasionally. But a grand poem about the Lake Isle of Inishree, which is lovely. A lovely poem, very nice. And it was an answer on, or a question on University Challenge a few weeks ago. And I got very excited because I got the answer right.
I love that. Those days when you get one right on University Challenge.
Yeah. All of those, I mean, all of those like weird nerds who like in terms of education, like I'm higher on the rank than them, but I don't know what they're talking about. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, who are these freaks? You know, I used to live with a girl who's like, oh, you must love University Challenge. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what they're talking about. And she was like, what?
I'm watching a lot of Jeopardy on Netflix because it's such a good quiz show. And like I'm killing it on Jeopardy. I'm like every now and then I'm clearing categories. I'm absolutely deadly, and then something comes up that's like, you know, we'll name the counties and you have to name the states. And I'm like, oh, that's it. I'm out.
Did you not? Did you learn nothing?
Local
from,
knowledge.
From did you learn
from John King?
Yeah, John King spent a week educating the whole of Ireland to Erie, Pennsylvania, and here you are letting him down.
Well, I'm obviously better since John King enlightened me as to the political proclivities of Putnam County, New York.
Yeah, I haven't started watching Jeopardy. I might do actually because, yeah.
That's real good. Because, yeah. I mean, it's the episodes, obviously, with Alex Trebek, who unfortunately passed away recently, and he's such a good quiz master.
Yeah, I had, I listened to a podcast, Megan, who was on with yourself and myself, Pather. She did an episode with a woman who wrote a book about the use of, I can't remember her name now, about the use of the word like. And she was a question on Jeopardy, which must be like for anybody, like top tier.
That's
like, you know, you've
class.
Made it. Like if you get to be a question on University Challenge or on Jeopardy, I think that's it. You've made it. Life goals. Do you think they'll ever put us on University Challenge?
I don't know. I think there's more likely that one of us will be featured on Crime Line.
Yeah.
I do remember once that
throttled another driver or something.
Yeah.
I was shouting at the screen.
Murder at the roundabout.
Because Paxman, you know, as Paxman's like, he was bullying the nerd guys because he has a weird flirting style with the kind of the one or two girls that are allowed on, and you're kind of, make you a mixtape or something, and he's really odd. But once the person he's talking about, which American president has a name that comes from the Gaelic meaning an ugly head, and the person goes, oh, I don't know, Bush. He goes, oh, it's Kennedy. It's like, that's not what Kennedy means, you fucker. Here, yeah. I'm not like other tans heading you.
I enjoy when he gives them shit for getting, like, it's a round on video games and they'll get it all right and he gives them shit for it. Like, the purpose of him being here, Jeremy, is to get the questions right. And he's like, have you nothing better to do? Clearly, they're doing all of the things.
I mean, clearly, no. I'm on University Challenge. Of course I have nothing better to do. I mean, I have a thesis to write.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Back in the 70s, it was like University Challenge was widely seen to be basically class warfare on screen, because people watched it to see these people from these kind of little Welsh red brick campuses, slap around these Oxford boys. And that was basically, that was the blood sport that University Challenge used to be. But that seems to have completely fallen by the wayside.
Are you saying they should never have let the poors into Oxford?
No, I'm saying...
Is that the argument here?
On the other way around, I'm saying possibly that maybe university is less accessible than it was in the 80s.
I want University Challenge. Britain, anyway, yeah. I want the final of University Challenge to just be a bare-knuckle boxing. You know, they can't do it now because they are, you know, taking coronavirus regulations seriously. But maybe next season they'll do just fight to the death at the end, you know, Game of Thrones style.
This was part of a, that was part of a Young Ones bit at one stage, wasn't it? Remember the Young Ones?
I do remember the Young Ones. It hasn't Rick aged Mellon. Well, but that particular sketch was good because they had, remember, like Toff College versus, was a Scumbag College or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
The funniest thing about it was, you know the way when you're watching it on the telly and they show like one row of students above the other?
Yeah.
But in the Young Ones, they actually built a set where one set of desks is above the other. So the character Vivian punches his way down through the floor of one set of desks down to the other to beat someone up.
It took a long time for me to realise, I'm sure with a lot of people, that they weren't stacked on top of one another. They look like they are. They do it very seamlessly.
Islands. So any other favourite islands named? Tory Island is just Tory as Gaelga. Am I right? Or?
Tory, yeah. Or Ilan Hori, I suppose.
Is it Tory Island?
It's just listed as Tory. And this is a controversial one, but I suppose not so much controversial. This is another one where it's debated, and that is it the Tower of the King, Tory, or is it Tory, meaning, you know, a Tory, or a hunter, or a bandit, or just something else entirely?
Or somebody who thinks that poor people should starve. No, is that?
Well, Balor lived there. He was a massive Tory.
There you are now. Maybe that's who it's referring to.
Look, the word Tory, it comes from, like, you know, it comes from Tory, like a bandit, an outlaw. Historically was Tory, like, on Tilon. Ilan Hori, was that ever known as Ilan Hur Ri? It could have been, absolutely, but that could just be sort of, backwards. What's the word I'm looking for? Were you sort of retrospectively trying to sign? Back formation, that could be that. Yeah. I don't know. It's more likely that, like, Tory is. Look, who knows? It could have been an old tower belonging to an old king, and it just so happened that the island is perfect for outlaws and bandits to hide away from the crown authorities. It could be just a happy coincidence.
You'd have to be going out a fair bit now. I mean, it's not swimmable.
No, it's 14.5 kilometres, but what self-respecting Tory didn't have a boat?
Fair. Like, you know, if you want to actually be a Tory, as in a bandit, you've got to get out there,
Now, if you want to be a Tory, as in...
You have to have a yacht.
You have to have a yacht, yeah. That's the difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. a humble Curragh won't suffice.
Any other favourite island names?
I like Antarctica.
In a Shark
before,
sounds like Shark Island, but it's actually Piglet Island.
That's right? Cute, though.
Mm-hmm. That's cute, like, yeah. I like islands that have place names that sort of are in keeping with the maritime history of the area. Like on Vlaskid, on Vlaskid Moor, the Blasket Islands. I think that's Old Norse, actually, originally.
I love that.
Which is pretty cool. On Tiarracht, probably my favourite island off the coast of Ireland. I've never been there, but it would be a lifelong goal of mine to go there. On Tiarracht, the most westerly point on the European continent. It's a big rock sticking up out of the sea on the western edge of the Blasket Islands, and there's a lighthouse on it. And of course, nobody goes on it anymore because the lighthouses are all automated. But there's a helipad on Tiarracht, and occasionally some brave buck from Dunquin might take a night vogue out as far as Antirrut, but it's one hell of a trek out there. I like that name, Antirrut. Yeah. The westerly, the most westerly, like the.
That's
what it is.
It is what it is. I love that. We said last week about Lugan and Mlache. They're much better in Irish because, you know, what is it? West. There it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's all you need to know about it. How far do you go? Keep going west until you can go no further, you know. And I like that. But I like, there's something about, I think, the West Coast Islands particularly, just like how fucking inaccessible they are. Like, there's something, I would romanticise that a little bit, just like how, you know, you really wanted to get out there. Or get back in, you know, you'd want to be stuck there, kind of, because you're not getting back in anytime soon. And it depends. Like, if you go back in the before times, you can take a tour around Skelligvickle, and it's very popular since Star Wars. But, like, many times I've planned to go with my other half, who's a big Star Wars fan. But you, like, when you look for, like, a trip out there, they're like, well, you know, it depends on the weather, and, you know, it depends. So you might get down and book your tickets and then realize you can't go. So it's sort of I like that sort of old world era. It depends on the weather. We might not get you out there, which doesn't really apply in a lot of places and a lot of, like, sightseeing that much anymore in Ireland. You know, you can always go to Dublin Castle, even if it's pissing rain, you can still go. But
especially if it's pissing rain.
Yeah, exactly.
What else are you going to do if it's pissing rain?
But if you want to head out to the Aran Islands and not die, not, like, literally spew your rig on a boat that you get strapped into, you have to wait for a good day for that. And I think, because I find that there's something about, I get really seasick, and I used to work on a ferry cleaning, and I get really, really seasick. So you just have to wear these bracelets. I don't know if they work or not, but it's a placebo effect. And my partner always thinks it's really strange because he's like, you're from an island. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but the sea off the coast of Ireland, we're not supposed to leave the island, you know. It's really dangerous.
You're from
to
an
leave.
Island, he says.
Well, I am from an island.
But, like...
Come on, it is an island. Don't say it's not an island. It's an island. Well, I mean, I'm from Leash, but, like, it's the most inland you can get. So, I mean, inland and inishes, you know, they're
strange like saying, to me. It's like saying America is an island.
No, it's not.
It's really not.
No, and I think if someone's from an island, they can see the sea at both windows in their house.
No. Well,
no.
Sorry, so wait a minute. It stops being an island the minute it's what? More than 40 metres long on a foggy day.
Like, so that's... the people of Medina are not from an island.
If your defining personality characteristic is being from an island, if it's the first thing someone says about you when you're, you know, like, I would say, you know, so you're from a small island. Because, I mean, being from a big island is you're from just a country,
but that's
sea. Most countries are surrounded by sea. Ireland, you mean?
No, even when you say most countries are surrounded by sea, that is categorically not true.
Oh, you're talking about landlocked countries. I don't care about them.
Yeah, but even that defies it. What do you think an island is, Derek? Do you think the people of Croatia are an island? Like,
but
they're
not. Listen, I mean,
China is notoriously surrounded by sea.
If I was to say to somebody, listen, oh, you'll understand this because you're from an island. If that's the sentence, if that's the lead-in, that, if that's the context in which an island is being referred to, it changes it not being, like, suddenly Britain and Ireland aren't islands in that context anymore.
Do you not think we have an island mentality?
We definitely have an island mentality.
Do you think... Well, I'm so confused. What do you think an island is?
Like, I would suggest, like, if you were to say, like, I think you'll understand this because you're from an island, that does apply to Ireland. It doesn't apply to, say, Australia.
Yeah.
Are you talking about, like, in terms of the geopolitical context of, like, not of our politics not being defined by a land border? Because that is something that I think a land border is a big part of our kind of actual political psychological makeup.
Listen, I see no land border. Hang on.
I'm not touching that with a barge pole. You can see the land border, you can accept the land border, or you cannot. But let's say, even if there is a land border, there are islands that are definitely islands, that are understood to be islands, that have borders on them. Like, New Guinea is an island, and half of it is Papua New Guinea, and the other half is, what, Indonesia. Like, you know, that's an island. Like, the Dominican Republic and Haiti share an island.
Mm-hmm.
Hispaniola is an island, and there are two countries on it, land border.
Okay, I'm referring specifically to Lasse's comment that garaging shouldn't
happen. I just want to be right, basically. I just want to be, what way can we rework this now that I'm right? That Ireland is not an island.
Ireland is clearly an island. It's physically an island.
I'll bring him in here and you can tell him to his face that Ireland is not an island. Listen. He's going to laugh at you. That's what he's going to do.
It's actually a peninsula. It's a Leinish.
We're no one's peninsula. Anyway.
Ireland is a small island off the coast of Achill.
I can live with that. Yeah, and I think it's the same way if someone said, like, oh, you'll understand this because you're from a port, that would suggest that they were somehow involved in port activities.
No. It would suggest that they're from a port.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, I think we've dragged this point out long enough.
We need you to admit that you're wrong.
Can I just admit I'm wrong then? Will that kill the matter?
Absolutely.
Will that allow us to move on? 100%
correct. That's fine. That's great.
Okay.
Well done. Well done for being the bigger man and driving away right over the roundabout. You know what my other favourite island place name is? And I love these ones where there's no evident island anymore. Mm-hmm. Where, like, it obviously refers to something that was once. And I don't just mean, like, fields called Inch or anything like that, but Inish, Cundé an Chlár, that was originally, like, Ennis in County Clare, that was originally a monastery built on an island in the middle of a river. Like, the monks diverted the River Fergus and it created an island and they built a monastery on it. So, we have Inish Cundé an Chlár, or Island Bridge in Dublin. It's not immediately evident where the island in Island Bridge is, but it's Dhuibh na hInse and it's there. It's a bridge going over to an island. And I think that's really cool. I love that Loganamnacha place names can give an immediate and evident example of what the area was at one stage, that snapshot from history. Which is really good. Like, it's really good. And it's really good at sort of combating that shifted baseline syndrome of thinking that, like, life began in the 1950s and that's what we should get back to. Because that's just bullshit.
Yeah. Horseshit. Okay. And before we wrap up, is anyone enjoying any Irish language or Irish language adjacent content you'd like to tell our listeners about?
I actually, as a New Year's resolution, decided I was going to kind of engage with more Irish language content because I was just kind of worried that I was getting out of it a little bit and trying to make sure to not just listen to Irish voices, but also listen to women because, again, we've discussed my feelings about men and there's too many men in this podcast. So I started listening to Gaelgal, the Gaelgal podcast, which is so fun, really, really fun and a good opportunity to, like, you know, just listen to people chatting, kind of not about Irish, but in Irish, if you know what I mean. Really good, would recommend listening. Anyone of our listeners who's interested in that, definitely check it out.
Yeah, and I am at the moment absolutely obsessed with Owen McAvoy's latest rap, all about Kieran EA.
Yeah.
It's an absolute bop. And, you know, Kieran's a pal, good friend. So it's cool to see a young Irish poet and, let's be fair, feminist icon getting some props in the form of a rap. That's class. No one will ever write a rap about me, or if they do, it won't be positive. So I just think fair play. Let's admire that while it's there. And Owen McAvoy did Shum Us Boss,
which is
class. Oh, man. Absolutely class. Yeah. So I can't wait until he has enough for a mixtape. Like, as soon as he drops his mixtape,
it's over for you bitches. So
it's going to be lit.
We'll definitely look forward to those things. So until the next time, it's a slán from me.
A slán from me.
Like a slán wamsha.
Mind yourselves. Hey, Derek again. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Motherfucker comes out every Friday on the Headstuff Podcast Network. Thank you very much to Headstuff for bringing the show forth amongst you all. And check out the podcast studios when you are available to use two studios again.
If you want to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you. We've got a WhatsApp number or an email address in the show notes. So please do get in touch and let us know your thoughts, any Loganamnacha related content or anything else. We love hearing from you.
Thanks as ever to Brian for producing and to Kirsten Scheel for the amazing artwork. And remember, no man is an island.
We record Motherfucklore on remotely.fm. If you are thinking of doing your own podcast, why not check them out? Check out the link in our show notes.
Or don't. Or just don't do it. Don't do a podcast.
Yeah, no, you know, there aren't enough podcasts. Particularly there aren't enough podcasts. People, you know, shitting on. Anyway, until the next time.
Slán. One man is an island. Charlie Haughey's an island, guys.
Charlie Haughey has an island.
No, he is an island now, surely.
Is he an island? Is he?
I don't know.
He's dead.
Elon Haughey? Yeah, he's dead, yeah.
And that's a wrap.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Derek, do me a favour. Pull your microphone closer to your face. Or pull your face closer to your microphone.
Where's my turn to be the star of the internet?